When traditionalists think of a sex party, they imagine an underground network of mass perverts who enjoy getting drunk or high to engage in anonymous, aggressive sex. In the midst of the Me Too era, when so much of the world seems to be struggling with consent, there are signs that the highly organized world of kink appears to have the answer. I should note that the world of bondage, domination, and sadomasochism contrasts strongly with my conservative Orthodox Christian upbringing, where only men can be priests and abstinence-only education was the norm. Though my thoughts on sex have evolved and I pride myself on being open-minded, I still subconsciously believe that those believed in kink might just be a bit weird. I reached out to Toby Medina, a young woman I found through Instagram. Her Instagram bio, "Why Can't Sluts Change the World Too," piqued my interest. I asked her for an interview and she excitedly agreed. I picked up Medina outside of her house. Before she gets into my car, I notice her long blonde hair is straight and parted down the side. Her eyeliner is pitch black and winged to perfection. Her lips are pouty and glossy. She flung open the door to my car and jokes, "Hi, thanks for not trying to traffic me." I notice her piercings because the outline of a heart protrudes from her chest underneath her pink tank top. While talking, she pulls her top and starts massaging her nipple, saying, "Sorry, I think these are infected. They hurt so bad." I look over to the passenger side and can't help but let out a nervous giggle. As we drive to Demitas, a small coffee shop in Little Tokyo, she casually tells me about her Sunday night plans, a gangbang. I listen to her talk about her life and do my best not to be shocked by what I hear. She notices my tinges of anxiety and comforts me, explaining that she knows her crazy lifestyle may seem to civilians, her term for those not yet in the kink community. Medina told me about a birthday party she attended where all of the doms, which are dominants, the person in the relationship who with consent has authority, sit around beating up the birthday boy. They were throwing cake at him, lighting candles, and dripping the wax on his body. They ate the cake off of him while spitting on him and calling him names. Medina recalls looking up and seeing the hired civilian security guard staring at everyone with a stunned open mouth expression. She laughs while telling me this story, but it is part of her normal. Yet she has a Monday through Friday life as a marketing executive for a government agency. She got to the really surprising things about the sex parties she attends. There's rarely any alcohol. At sex parties, no one drinks, she says. No one wants the alcohol to blur the lines of consent. Whereas in normal life, conversations about consent are often tinged with uncertainty, in the kink community, consent is straightforward. Even the conversations about being STD tested, which can be awkward in bars, are handled very maturely in her world. People will just straight up ask you to show you your test results, she says, because no one wants to risk getting infected or infecting others. During our three-hour interview, we talk and eat. At one point, we swap drinks and pastries for a bit and talk about our lives and the woes of dating in Los Angeles. Medina tells me that so many of her civilian boyfriends mistreated her and cheated on her, and that no one she's met in the kink community has ever treated her badly like they had. The kink community is very inclusive and open. People love to talk to you about everything and how you feel. No one wants you to feel uncomfortable. At the end of our unexpectedly long and pleasant day together, she invites me to an all-female lingerie party she is hosting soon after. Curious, I accept. I nervously arrive at the address Medina gave me for the lingerie party and wait for her to let me in. The door opens and the warmth of pink fluorescent lights greet me. Medina welcomes me and leads me through the different rooms in the apartment, the first being the BDSM space, which has hooks and ropes hanging from the ceiling waiting to tie people up. We then walk through the props area, which debuts different instruments like nipple pinchers, paddles for spanking, and ornate butt plugs. After seeing me cock my head to the left, trying to take it all in, Medina seeks to comfort me. "Don't worry, we sanitize and clean them each time we use them," Medina says. There's an old bathtub full of rubber balls, a stripper pole in front of a white leather couch full of white flowers and twinkle lights, an old chalkboard full of sex ed rules, and the kitchen was lined with ramen packets. I walk around the event, talking to all the girls, and eventually ask them for interviews. A woman who goes by the name Waifu Next Door, who frequents sex parties, tells me about her experiences in the kink community and why she enjoys it so much. "It's just really important and empowering to be really comfortable with your body," she says. "I had such a huge problem with loving myself because I'm dark-skinned and mixed, so when I see people who look like me loving their bodies, I love mine too." Such feelings seem to be the general consensus for the woman there. At least five women tell me excitedly that just being around other women and being able to talk honestly about sex makes them confident. Shelby, who doesn't give her last name, explains, "I think a lot of women have been forced into being ashamed of their fetishes. It's nice that there's a safe space for women to explore their fetishes and act them out in reality. In the hours I follow the party, the interviews continue, and one woman tries to teach me the proper technique to twirl on and around the pole. To the lingerie partiers, it's also obviously empowering, but the concept of power is not as clear-cut. Amelia Jones, the Vice Dean of Critical Studies at USC. Jones is an expert on sexuality and feminism, and she explains, "I think it's become more mainstream to talk about that, kink and sex, as possibly a form of empowerment. Any rigorous feminist thinker will tell you that it's not simply empowering. It's a really complex thing, and it can be disempowering and empowering." Crystal Fedrick, a psychiatrist who specializes in BDSM, thinks kink can be a source of strength if there is the right intention behind it. Fedrick explains that some women and other marginalized groups can often find a source of power in the kink community because people tend to be non-judgmental of each other. Fedrick also highlights the importance of consent in the kink community. Just having a choice is empowering. While many people may assume that the submissives, the person in the relationship who gives up the power, is being taken advantage of, Fedrick says that this usually isn't true. Since there's always consent, subs tend to subliminally find their power by being submissive. People look at BDSM like it's this alternative sexual culture. People have been doing these things forever, Fedrick says. It's not abnormal. There's so many people doing it. It's probably your neighbor. Yet the concept of power is not as clear-cut as some may believe it to be. Amelia Jones, the Vice Dean of Critical Studies at USC, is an expert in sexuality and feminism. She discusses the duality of empowerment. "I think it's become more mainstream to talk about that, kink and sex, as possibly a form of empowerment. Any rigorous thinker will tell you that it's not simply empowering. It's a really complex thing. It can be disempowering and empowering. There's no simple recipe for empowerment. It's a complex issue. The kink and BDSM community is not a perfect utopian society where everyone feels powerful and valued. BDSM is the way it is now because it transformed and grew past its prior abuses and injustices. It's ironic that these supposed sexual deviants have learned to listen to each other to make sure that everyone is on the same page, when so much of America continues to argue about the meaning of yes and especially no."